Ebony, Ivory, and Jade. Welcome to Video Nasties. My name is Maxwell Haddad. Thank you for listening. It's 6:12 a.m. Thursday, January 20th, 2022. I'm here on Cape Cod, Massachusetts, just chilling. I got a lime seltzer from Polar to drink on, but it went flat overnight, and now when I take a sip, it tastes gross. Almost like there's some alcohol in it or something. So I'm getting grossed out by it. I'm allergic to alcohol, as you know if you've been listening to the show. I am not allergic to marijuana, though, at all. Marijuana is my medicine. Marijuana. So I'm smoking on some Affinity flower. It's called Lights Out. That's the strain. And I just took a nice big ol' rip, and I'll probably sign off pretty soon. I just wanted to record a little bit now. I kind of just wanted to get my Ebony, Ivory, and Jade song on here. That's the movie that I watched last night. It's directed by Sirio H. Santiago. Now, what happened yesterday was the New Beverly dropped their calendar, their new calendar for February. And there's a Sirio H. Santiago tribute on it. So I started thinking about him and wanting to watch some of his movies. I'd heard Tarantino talk about him on the Film Discoveries episode of the Pure Cinema Pod. And I had been watching Enzo G. Castellari movies. And for some reason, those two names, I get mixed up sometimes, even though they're very different filmmakers. And Sirio H. Santiago is the superior filmmaker, I would say. In my opinion, he's kind of like the king of Filipino cinema, and he's a dope action director when he wants to be. And certainly that's the case in Ebony, Ivory, and Jade. So the first one I watched was the first movie I watched last night was called Cover Girl Models, I think, from 1975, I want to say. Also directed by Sirio H. Santiago. I just plugged him into Roku and just like looked at the list. And anything I hadn't seen that was available, I played. So I watched that one on, I guess it was Shout Factory TV, which was working, and then ads popped up, so I'm not using that anymore. And then I went to Ebony, Ivory, and Jade, which was the next one that I hadn't seen. It was the next one on the list after The Mothers. It's on Prime Video. I recommend it to everyone. It's a dope movie. It's fun. It's interesting. It's from the women's perspective, so they're the main characters. And it feels, in some ways, like a pseudo-sequel to The Mothers, even though it really isn't. Part of that is because of the woman who appears in it, whose name I'm blanking on. But, yeah, I mean, The Mothers is a better movie. It's more exciting. I don't know, kind of more of an action movie, I guess. Ebony, Ivory, and Jade is more of like a comedy character piece, even, kind of. I don't really know. I have to finish it. But, and I would need to watch The Mothers again, too. But The Mothers is a great movie. This is not a great movie, but it's a fun movie, and I think it's well made, and some of the acting's pretty good. It's not all great, but alright, let me run down the cast for you. The Ivory of the title is Colleen Camp, who was very hot at this time, and she has big boobs, and she's an Ebony, Ivory, and Jade. I thought she would be my favorite of the three, but then I saw the Jade, and I was like, whoa. Yeah, she's gorgeous. Her name is Christy Mayuga, I think. First movie, and then Roseanne Caton, I never know how to say it, she was in The Mothers too, I believe. She's a beautiful black woman. And but as far as Colleen Camp, who plays, so Roseanne Caton plays Pam Rogers, Colleen Camp plays Ginger Douglas. Christy Mayuga plays Jackie. Ginger is kind of a sexy name. The Douglas part isn't, but... Directed by Sirio H. Santiago, written by Henry Barnes. Here's the plot synopsis on IMDb. Quote, an American track team... Oh, that's right, they're runners. They're track runners. They're on a track team. Okay. An American track team has just arrived in the Philippines for an international competition. Among the competitors are Ginger and Pam, nicknamed Ivory and Ebony, who meet up with another friend, Jackie, nicknamed Jade. After they arrive at their hotel, a gang of thugs kidnaps them, along with some other girls from the team. To get away, the trio are going to have to use all their fighting skills. Yeah, so they're like, there's one scene where they're randomly, like, they're in the airport, or I don't know if it's the train station or what, and these two thugs try to jack this woman's purse, and Ebony and Ivory walk over, or maybe it's Jade and Ebony, I don't remember, but they walk over, and they just start kicking some ass. Like, they have some kung fu skills out of nowhere. It's great. And, yeah, so they're friends. Ebony and Ivory. And they're both on the track team, and then they meet up with Jade, who's Jackie. Yep. Okay, I remember that now. Alright, so this is from the poster. Three foxy mamas turned loose. They call them Ebony, Ivory, and Jade. They can lick any man ever made. Starring Roseanne Caton, Colleen Camp, and Sylvia Anderson. I don't know who the hell Sylvia Anderson is, and I don't know why she keeps getting billing over Christy Mayuga, who's the third lead. Essentially, she's the Jade of the title. Story and screenplay by Henry Barnes. Music by Eddie Nova. Produced and directed by Sergio H. Santiago. Color, A Dimension Pictures. Release, PG. Yeah, I was so excited to see that DP, Dimension Pictures logo at the head of it, which is also at the head of Death Proof by Quentin Tarantino. Thank you for listening. My name is Maxwell Haddad. I will be back on to talk some more about Ebony, Ivory, and Jade, or whatever ends up happening today. It's early yet. It's still dark. It's raining. It's warming up a little bit, but it's still fucking cold. So stay warm if it's cold where you are. I can't wait to get back to Los Angeles. And right now, I can't wait to get back to this bowl and maybe some Sick by Earl sweatshirt. Maybe some film discoveries of 2021 on the Pure Cinema podcast. I don't know. I'll see where the morning takes me. See where it takes you. This is Video Nasties. Peace.
Ebony, Ivory, and Jade. That's right. I'm back to talk about Sergio H. Santiago's Ebony, Ivory, and Jade. I'm excited to talk about this movie because I really enjoyed it. I liked the movie. I just got back home from work. It's 6:23 p.m. Thursday, January 20th, 2022. My name is Maxwell Haddad, and you're listening to Video Nasties. Thank you for listening. I'm on Cape Cod currently. Hopefully I'll be moving back to L.A. in the next few months. I have this little bowl that I smoked half of this morning. I'm going to rip the other half of it right now as we speak, and then I'm going to pack another. I'm either going to pause this to pack it or just pack it while I'm talking to you. I'm sort of infamously bad at multitasking, so I don't even know if I can talk to you while I pack it. Eh, maybe I can do it. I don't think it'll be too difficult. I got the car still running. I got the heat on. I'm feeling good. I haven't been inside yet. I kept the weed in my car today. I want to get inside so I can say hi to my cat and see what's for dinner, even though I ate lunch very late. I ate lunch about an hour ago, even though it's currently 6:24 p.m. So that's cool. I'll have a late dinner, and then I'll figure out what I'm watching tonight, and you will find out about it tomorrow. So it's Thursday night. I get paid tomorrow. I'm having some money issues this week, people, and next week I will have money issues as well. But I'm dealing with it as best I can. Just trying to save money where I can, where possible. And that's it. I'm not going to drag you into my money issues. I do need to bring my car in for an oil change, which I currently can't afford. Probably won't be able to afford next week. It'll probably have to wait another week. Hopefully I don't ruin my engine. I should check the oil this week, especially if I can't go in because I don't have the money. So, I do have some money that my mom is currently holding, but I don't want to actually get into that because my mom has that while I'm living at the house, and I still, you know, she did lend me a lot of money, so I think it's fair that she's holding on to that. I'm living at the house, and I'm smoking weed, which she doesn't approve of, and she could have just kicked me out by now, but she hasn't, even with the weed, which I appreciate. So, you know, I'm overdrawing, I'm having all kinds of money issues, my girlfriend's having money issues, but that I almost said how much it was, that certain amount of money is sitting there waiting for me, which is good. It's good that I'm not spending it, so I have to look at it that way. Okay, I'm gonna take this hit. Let me just have a little sip of water first. Alright. Ooh, alright, it's getting a little warm. I think I'm just gonna shut the car off. Fuck it. I don't wanna run it too much. I'm gonna start to run low on gas. Which I also don't have money for, but tomorrow I'll have some money, hopefully. We'll see. I need to send my girlfriend some more money for car repairs. So I'll be sending out for that. Smoke if you got them and join me. Chin chin. Hey, I'm back. So I did need to pause it while I packed that bowl. Yep. The bowl is packed. I couldn't multitask. So I'm back on now, talking to you fine people. Sorry, I just want to clear off this little area here on the towel that's on my seat to keep it clean. All right. Chin chin. So I've been listening to Sick by Earl Sweatshirt. It's his new album. I hope you've been listening to it too. He gave an interview to Pitchfork, and I read it today. It was brief, kind of interesting. He has a unique way of speaking and rapping, writing. You can see that on Twitter. So it was interesting to see what language he used. So I'm gonna have to go take a shit. That hit just like really hit me. I don't know if this is even worth sharing with you, but anyway, it's on Pitchfork, and yeah, fuck it, I'll read it. Okay. So the title of the article is Earl Sweatshirt is Still a Rap Fan First, by Alphonse Pierre, January 20th, 2022. Is that today? Yep, dropped today. Okay, quote. Pitchfork. Some people may be surprised by the more polished sounds on this album. Why do you think that is? Earl Sweatshirt, quote, whenever people find out something about me, it's usually different from what they think they know about me. Because of the mystery I was shrouded in for so long, it gave people the room to project things on me that may or may not be true. I'm sure they will be like, mimics the voice of a congested rap fan. Damn, bro, Earl on a trap beat? I'm like starting to lose my voice because it was so fucking busy at work. I was on the phone all day. Again, nobody was there. Okay. Quote, do you try to push back against that? Your name is almost used as a descriptor for lyrical raps over drumless loops at this point. That shit is fucking hilarious. You ever see kids who do those videos like how Earl sweatshirt raps? That type of shit used to get me tight, but it doesn't anymore. I guess I'm getting older. I use it to my advantage now, too, and I can be in control of it like I am on this album. I'm breaking the fourth wall by even talking about it right now. Was the writing process for Sick different? Was the slight change in style stressful? Nah, I only set myself up for high percentage shots. It takes me a long time because I'm not going for everything. But you know what bust my head? Everything is moving faster and faster. Like XXXTentacion came out and died between I Don't Like Shit and some rap songs. Shit takes me so long that a whole career can happen in between. It takes time to pattern it out, writing and chiseling. But I did want to nudge myself out of my comfort zone. I had to locate where I was uncomfortable, and it was writing a song bar for bar, like a freestyle. The gray Sunday morning when I wrote Sick was one of them moments. I was bored and didn't know what the beat was going to do, and it was one clear motion. I was just like, quote, nigga, come on, we gotta do it. We got to do it, until I did. When I interviewed your friend Navy Blue last year, he spoke about making songs that are more of a reflection of how upbeat he is in person. He said that came from conversations with you. We still talk about that, because ultimately that's the goal. I'm trying to make niggas laugh once. Give me anything, a smile, an eyebrow raise. You got to run this back. For the past couple of years, I've really been about brevity, not wasting a lot of time, but without being too obscure. I don't want to make fortune cookies. I want to get to it. That reminds me of how I listen to Michigan rap. Exactly. Michigan rap is like boxing. It'll be jabs, then there will be this random hook or rib shot. That's how Babyface Ray raps. He makes shit that don't even rhyme, rhyme. That's why Rio, De Young OG, is such a good fucking rapper. There will just be lines that stick with you. Remember when he said, quote, E, where the fuck is the drink at? Laughs. You gotta be in love with it to rap like that. Your song 2010 makes me feel that. So does that Jadakiss versus performance. Sorry. Jadakiss is a keeper of the word, a master of his craft. That's what happens when you don't put too much pressure on it and make it a love thing. From performing, researching, writing, and listening, make it a love thing. It's the job, but not in a gross work way, in a spiritual sense. Even though you hardly mentioned being a new father on the album, would you say that experience inspired the music at all? He's going to be mad I didn't post up, holding him on the back cover, while I'm shirtless and in front of a lowrider. But that is my real-life son, man. I write about him, and I have joints that will come out. But I just got to get a grip on him being here before sharing him with a huge audience. It's a baby, bro. That's my twin. He's already guaranteed to have motherfuckers in his face, and I feel for cuz. It's not a normal thing. Are there any songs on the album he was a part of? Lie. That's the one I've run back the most. I knew it. I was going to ask you that, but I knew it. You see, it's not about him, but he's involved. That shit is about when keeping it real goes wrong. Learning where the place for reckless honesty is when your agenda isn't the most important anymore. Where did you learn that? Lately, I've been thinking about the lessons I learned with my pops, the poet Kyo Rapetsi Kgositsile. And there's definitely stuff with my son I don't want to recreate, like where work intersects with your kids. But it was give and take with my pops. He was committed to being a keeper of the word. That's what he had to do. At the time, I was looking for a more traditional relationship with him, but as I got older, I understood him more. I remember around Feet of Clay, and during my grieving year, Mac Hami was around a lot. I was in it super bad, and he was like, quote, how you gonna understand some shit he did when he was 50 and you're not 50? That's it. Yeah, I didn't realize Earl Sweatshirt is a new father. I think he's 26. So he's younger than me, and he's got his first kid already. That's way too early to have a kid. If you ask me, as far as I'm concerned, that's, yeah, no fucking way. I ever have a kid, it'll probably, I mean, it probably won't be for, you know, 15 to 20 years from now until 15. I don't know. All right. At least 10 years. I mean, come on, Jesus. I can barely take care of myself. All right. What am I looking up? Oh, yeah. So I wanted to get into Colleen Camp. I wanted to investigate this woman. She's in Clue, and I always thought she was hot in that as the French maid, and she's hot in this, and her boobs are huge, and they're bouncing while she's running, because she's a track runner, her and Roseanne Caton's character, Pam Rogers. I already talked about this on the other segment, though. All right, and then I was like, did Colleen Camp die? Is she still alive? She did not age well, but she is still alive. Okay, I just checked. So she was born June 7th, 1953, so she's in her 60s, I believe. And, oh, she was in Die Hard with a Vengeance. I forgot about that. She was a cop. She was in Wayne's World. I remember her in that. She's been in all kinds of shit. Oh, she's in Violet, the new movie Violet that played the new Bev. And then she's in that movie Death Game, which was remade as Knock Knock by Eli Roth. And she's also in Knock Knock, so there is an Eli Roth connection. Knock Knock stars Keanu Reeves, Death Game stars Colleen Camp, and I don't know who else. She actually has a lot of credits on IMDb, 151 credits. She's in The House with a Clock in Its Walls, which I haven't watched yet. She plays Mrs. Hanchett, rated PG. Yeah, 2021 is her latest credit. And she's got upcoming projects. Yeah, I mean, she's still doing it. Like I said, she didn't age well, in my opinion, but she's still doing it. But she was so hot back in the day. Yeah, Knock Knock. She plays Vivian. Let me see. I gotta really scroll here. I don't know what year Death Game is. I want to... Oh, she's in Game of Death, too, with Bruce Lee. She plays Anne Morse. Here it is, 1977, Donna, Death Game. Here's the synopsis. Quote, two close women seduce and torment a businessman in his plush San Francisco home. Yeah, and she looks hot in this and crazy. Like, crazy hot. So it's Sandra Locke as Agatha Jackson, Colleen Camp as Donna, and Seymour Cassell as George Manning. So she's Donna in that. And what was her name in Knock Knock? Vivian. Alright, here's the description of Knock Knock. I like Knock Knock. I'm sure I've done this list before on here, on the pod. I would put, what's it called? Death Wish on the bottom. That's my least favorite. Then Knock Knock, I would say. And then probably Hostel Part 2, and then The Green Inferno, and then Hostel, and then Cabin Fever is my personal favorite of Eli Roth's movies. I think Hostel is his masterpiece, but I just like the fact that Cabin Fever is a dark comedy, which I have talked about on here. A black comedy, really. Okay, here's the description. Quote, a devoted father helps two stranded young women who knock on his door, but his kind gesture turns into a dangerous seduction and a deadly game of cat and mouse. Here's another description from IMDb, written by Lionsgate. Quote, when a devoted husband and father is left home alone for the weekend, two stranded young women unexpectedly knock on his door for help. What starts out as a kind gesture results in a dangerous seduction and a deadly game of cat and mouse. A sexy new thriller from director Eli Roth and written for the screen by Eli Roth and Nicholas Lopez and Guillermo Amedo. And story by Anthony Overman and Michael Ronald. Knock Knock stars Keanu Reeves as the family man who falls into temptation. And Lorenza Izzo and Anna de Armas as the seductresses who wreak havoc upon his life, turning a married man's dark fantasy into his worst nightmare. So yeah, this was the first time I had ever seen Ana de Armas, or Ana de Armas. I thought she was hot and a good actress, and she is. Now she's a movie star. She's a Bond girl now. And then Lorenza Itzo, I still think is even hotter. And is an even better actress in some ways. I think I prefer her performance in this to Ana de Armas. She's a little crazier, a little wilder. She plays Genesis. Ana de Armas plays Belle. And Keanu Reeves plays Evan. So, yeah. Even though Ana de Armas is having the bigger career, I think I prefer Lorenza Itzo as an actress. She's in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood as Francesca. She's just a little bit more, I don't know what the word for it is, outgoing or something. I don't know. Francesca Cappucci. Oh, she's in The House with a Clock in its Walls. The first time I saw her was Green Inferno, and she's great in that. And she was also married to Eli Roth for a time. Okay, so that's that. Ebony Ivory and Jade. Watch it. Check it out. I think I already read the description. I'm not sure. Sorry I'm getting tongue-tied. I've just been talking all day, and my mouth is tired. I did read the description. Yeah. I read the poster. You know what it is. It's from 1976. Rated PG, actually. I don't know if I mentioned that. I might have. And I don't think I mentioned this. It's 1 hour and 16 minutes. So this is actually on the shorter side. Which sometimes can be a good thing. Sometimes can be a bad thing for me. But, and it also means there's not, probably not that much left. I think I probably watched about a half hour or so. So that's a little disappointing. But it's also good, you know. Good things come in small packages. It's nice that it's tight and contained. Kind of like this episode, but not really. So I think that's it for this episode. I think that's going to wrap it up. I know I didn't even really talk about the movie that much, but I did talk about it earlier. It's kind of an action movie. There's kind of like an espionage edge to it. I don't know. It's an interesting hybrid. The girls get kidnapped. And like I said, I like that it's from their perspective. I like the scenes with them, which is like a lot of the scenes or most of the scenes. I don't know. I'm speaking very broadly about it because I didn't finish the movie and I was high. But I did talk about it last night. So I hope you enjoyed the episode. I'm sorry. I know this is a lame ending, but I'm tired. I'm out of it. It's been a long day. I got a long week ahead of me. I don't know how much money I'm going to have tomorrow. Hopefully it's plenty. And this is just my life right now. I don't know why it's suddenly gotten so busy at work. It's been like nonstop calls. I don't know why. And of course there's nobody there. But that's, yeah, I mean, that's it. That's what I have to do to survive in this world. Right now, I mean, I'm just happy that I have a job still right now. Because in a month's time, well, a month, in just over a month, I won't have a job. And I won't be bringing as much money. But that's okay. This is Video Nasties. Peace. I'll be back on tomorrow. Hope you enjoyed the episode. I don't even know what tonight's episode was. Tonight, meaning the night that I record this. And I don't know what tomorrow's episode will be. It's always a surprise, even for me. I'm sure it'll be something good, though. Something tasty. Don't worry. I'm always cooking up something tasty for you. Peace.